So can we separate ourselves from monsters? Especially if we can relate to where they come from? Derf Backderf, whose teenage self appears in Meyer's film, thinks so. When his graphic novel first came out, Steve talked with Derf Backderf about how he separated Jeff, the kid he knew, from Dahmer, the serial killer.
Your book is called My Friend Dahmer. How close a friend were you?
Well, that's what the book is about. He wasn't what I would call part of my inner circle, but we were, me and my friends, were probably as close to friends as he had. I mean, this was a kid who was missing chunks of his humanity from a very early age.
Did you realize that at the time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So there's something just really odd about him, weird.
Yeah, right from the beginning. Yeah, absolutely. And we're talking, I mean, I met him when we were 12, so, and continued our friendship up until we were 18. And 2 weeks after our high school graduation, he killed his first victim here in Ohio.
But that didn't come to light until years later.
Until years later, right. But we were very, very close to that. I mean, you know, within a couple hundred yards of that, really. That's, I mean, it's things like that are the things that I really had the most trouble dealing with.
So you said it was always obvious that this guy was really strange. What did he do that was so different?
Well, he didn't relate to people the way other people would. I mean, you know, from the very beginning, he was probably the loneliest kid that I'd ever met. Later on, he began to act out. I assumed it was a way to interact with people because he started to get attention for it. And, you know, it sort of steamrolled from there. He would fake epileptic fits in the mall or in school. He would pretend he had cerebral palsy. He bleated like a sheep in class. And it sounds terrible, but keep in mind we were 15 years old and bored to death, and anything out of the ordinary was both fascinating and amusing.
So he was going for laughs. He was trying to get a rise out of the kids around him.
Absolutely. And then later, and this I reflect in the book becomes darker and darker, and more claustrophobic as it unfolds. His behavior became darker, and particularly the drinking. He was a heavy drinker. Mainly he was self-medicating, trying to quell these hideous urges that were just taking him over.
The way you depict this in your book, I mean, it's shocking how much he drank. I mean, apparently he came in to school totally plastered.
Yeah. He would walk around the halls of the school with a styrofoam coffee cup from the coffee machine in the cafeteria. It was full of scotch or whiskey, you know, some dark liquid that looked like coffee, walking right through the halls of the school. Now, keep in mind, this is a very different era, and I try to get that across in the book that, you know, it was not 2012. I mean, it was 1978, 1977. It was a completely different society, completely different era, but still, that's a little hard to explain away.
Yeah, it's a little unbelievable when you say there are times when he was passed out, literally, on the school grounds. I mean, how could no adult actually see this?
Right. Yeah, I have no explanation for it. Either they didn't care or, you know, they didn't want to be bothered. I mean, by the time that it got really bad, he was already a senior, and they figured, well, you know, in a couple months, he'll be somebody else's problem. Well, he was somebody else's problem. And it is a very tragic and troubling element of this story, and one of the reasons I find it so fascinating and wanted to get it down is that it's really unbelievable that he got away with what he got away with. Now, he had a skill for that, which he employed with very lethal effectiveness later in life, as you well know.
Why do you think he was drinking so much?
I believe that he was self-medicating, and this is what Jeff himself says. I mean, he didn't feel that he could approach anyone else about what was going on in his head. I mean, how do you go up to someone and say, hey, you know, I'm fantasizing about dead bodies? You know, that's not going to happen. And he was trying to, anyway, just you know, tamp down these horrible urges that were in his head and virtually threatening to take him over body and soul. And this was what he came up with. And for a while, I mean, in the book, you know, I think it was almost a heroic struggle. I know that people have trouble attaching that word to Jeffrey Dahmer. But remember, the Dahmer that I knew had committed no crime. He was just this horribly troubled kid marching inexorably toward the abyss as the adults in his life failed to intercede. And, I mean, put yourself in his shoes. Where would he go?
So on the one hand, you could say, well, he was dealt a really bad deck of cards, and as we said, his home life was a mess. He couldn't connect with people. He was the people around him, the society around him failed him. And yet, when you look at the crimes, I mean, later, rape, dismemberment, necrophilia,
sure,
cannibalism, I mean, that sounds like insanity.
Well, it sure does. My view, I think I laid this out pretty clearly, is that once he starts to to kill, I lose all sympathy for him. I mean, to some degree, he chose to give in to these urges and become the monster that we all know. And at that point, the only tragedy is that he just didn't have the courage to put a gun to his head and end it, because, I mean, what did he have to live for? The book itself does not portray a sympathetic portrait of Dahmer the monster. This is Jeff, the kid that I knew. This is the story before that story. And, it's important to clarify that.
Now, there are some very chilling scenes in your book. One of them is you talk about a friend, your friend Mike, who mm-hmm. had given Dahmer a ride home in his car. And right. apparently, based on the timeline that you reconstructed, you figured out that the body of Dahmer's first victim was probably buried just yards away from...
Not buried, in garbage bags, just yards away.
Yeah, garbage bags.
Yeah. Unburied, yeah.
When you think back on that, I mean, were you in danger?
Well, we have talked about that. I take comfort somewhat in knowing that he never killed people that he knew, only strangers, like most serial killers. But, you know, who knows? I mean, if he had snapped, especially that first murder, that was just total impulse. You know, he didn't plan anything. It wasn't like the other murders where he stalked people. This was just some kid he picked up near the mall who was trying to hitch his way home. And it's, you know, just... The randomness of it is just so troubling. It's the old warning from your mother. Don't hitchhike. You'll be picked up by a serial killer. Well, this kid was. Dahmer just lost control for a second, and within minutes, he was a monster. He had killed. And could that have happened to any of us? Well, you know, who knows? I'm glad I didn't have a chance to find out.
In 1994, a few years after Dahmer was arrested, he was beaten to death by an inmate in prison.
Right.
How did you feel when you heard about that?
You know, I was actually kind of surprisingly upset by that. I had not been in contact with Jeff. I never made an attempt to reach out to him. But at that time, he was only the second high school friend that I had lost, so I guess that's somewhat understandable. And then, you know, I was kind of upset that I was upset, and so why am I mourning this guy in any way? But, you know... Personal relationships are hard to explain away easily sometimes.
You've said that once Dahmer killed, once he claimed his first victim, then mm-hmm. your sympathy totally goes out the window. I mean, you right. know, he's crossed the line. He's beyond the pale.
Sure.
But before that, were you trying to sympathize with him? I guess the question is, what were you trying to do with this book? Were you trying to humanize Jeffrey Dahmer?
Oh, absolutely. As I said, the Jeff that I knew had committed no crime. He was not an inhuman monster. He was a person who had inhuman urges, but he certainly was not a monster. And I think that there are lessons there to be learned. Well, maybe not lessons, but it certainly is a cautionary tale. And I don't think we do ourselves any favor when we just write these people off as monsters, because there's a certain inevitability that comes with that. You know, oh, he was a monster. It was inevitable that it happened. Well, I don't think it was inevitable. I think if somebody had acted, if somebody, particularly an adult, had gotten this kid, red flagged this kid, gotten him some help, that maybe some of this could have been stopped. Maybe not. Maybe it was inevitable, but it sure would have been nice if somebody had tried.
Cartoonist Durf Backdurf, speaking with Steve Paulson in 2013.